Welcome to the Nerd Party.
Scully?
Yes?
Marry me.
I love you and I like you.
I love you and I like you.
I love that woman. I love her more than sharks love blood.
I love you.
You don't.
Hello, I'm Tristan Riddell.
And I'm the girl.
And this is Nerd Nuptial episode 53. We are back in our studio. We have taken out all of the kids' stuff, and it's good to be back. And so hopefully we're sounding a little bit more normal to you guys. And sorry about last week. We had to skip it. Just life got in the way. But things are back to normal. We're getting into a new normal. And so we should be able to give you the same good old Nerd Nuptial that you're used to every single week.
Or at least we're going to try.
Well, we're going to try our darndest.
That's right. It's been very different just having her here, and which is wonderful, but you know, I've been sleep deprived and time has been kind of weird. Like this weird, like days are long and short at the same time.
It's weird. There's a lot to do.
Yeah.
And so the days are short, but then there's little to do and then they're long. It's weird. And also you're like, speaking of the little girl, you're going to hear Ripley in the background, most likely like hiccuping. I've never heard a baby have the strongest hiccups as she does. It's insane.
And they're lengthy too.
Yeah. So yeah, that's gonna happen. So you might hear her squeak and squawk in the background a little
bit.
But you know, that's Nerduptual now.
That's right.
It's the three of us basically. So what we're gonna talk about today is we're gonna review Logan. But before we get into that, it's been weird adjusting to parenthood. It's been weird adjusting to what it means to be a father and husband and worker. You know, like because going to work and then coming home and like not wanting to be at work because I know that you guys are home and everything like that, and you adjusting to your role being on a maternity leave and not going to work and this being your full-time job. I mean, has that been weird for you?
Yeah, it's very different. Like I said, it's kind of like by the time you come home, I'm like, wow, like, well, I think I got laundry done, but it's just this weird time lapse where, you know, days when you're working seem way longer or more productive. And it's not like this isn't productive. It's just at the same time, you're like, oh, this is weird.
Yeah. Yeah. Like when you're taking care of an infant.
Right.
You know, like a newborn.
Yeah.
It's, you know, like, okay, they sleep and then they wake up. You cuddle them and then they get hungry. You feed them. You burp them. You change them. And then you repeat.
Constantly.
Five times a day.
Right.
And so you just get into this time suck. It's really, no one told us about that.
Yeah.
About how it just zap your entire day away.
It's weird.
It's very, very strange. And one thing that I found though is when I'm out and about, I find this kinship, this fraternity with other parents that I didn't have before. Have you found out? Have you felt this?
Yeah, a little bit. A little bit.
It's odd because there's two types of parents that I'm seeing now that I am a parent myself, where I will see the happy-go-lucky parents who like have the kid who's being well-behaved and you can just see the joy in their eyes. And then there's the other type of parent that's just dejected, tired, has a zit right in the middle of their forehead, wearing, you know, stretchy pants. And the kids just run around and they're just beyond screaming at the kid. They're just, and I say that as in beyond, as in they're not doing it because they're just like, what's the point? Those are the two types of parents that I see.
There's only two types?
That's what I've been seeing.
Then what do we fall into?
We're in that pre-stage. I think we're in that happy-go-lucky stage.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, I'm glad.
Because like I was at Target buying diapers the other day and like it was my first job. Like it was my first errand as a sole father, where it's just like, oh, like I need to go to Target, not just for groceries or not to pick up something like something for this or that. It's just, no, my main purpose is to go and get diapers. Yeah. I was like, this is new. And as I'm walking in, there's two parents in front of me and they have a kid and he's just playing around in the cart, you know, like they're like letting him ride on it and they're kind of blocking the way and they see me and they're like, oh, I'm so sorry. And I was like, no, please let him have some fun. You know, and I'm just like, yeah, do whatever, you know, block the way. It's cool. And I told him, I was like, I'm a new parent myself. I'm picking up diapers. And they're like, oh my gosh, congratulations. Like, and they were super genuine about it.
That's cute.
And then as I was exiting, I was in the self-checkout line, and it was pretty crazy. And there was this one dad who was wearing stretchy pants who was looking super dejected, super just like, oh my God, like, what am I doing? And he was trying to ignore his child as best as he could, because the kid, who was probably like 4, was making fart noises with her mouth, just really super loud. And then she stopped and went, "Dad, Dad, Dad, Dad," just like constantly. And he goes, "Yes, what?" It's like, some people have 2 daddies and some people have 2 mommies. And he's like, "Yeah, that's right." It just goes back to making fart noises.
So you saw like a peek into your future. It was just like
it was apropos of absolutely nothing. Like, she didn't see a gay couple walking around. She didn't see some random kid who had 2 mommies or 2 daddies. She just thought her father needed to know this. That.
Yeah, just so you know, this is the case. This is what happens. It's so really funny.
Yeah, it's been interesting because going out and seeing Logan, to come back to Logan and come back to nerdy stuff. we this was our first time being away from Ripley.
Yeah, it was. It was weird for me, especially because you had gone to work, mm-hmm. but I have been with her 24/7.
Like ever since she came home from the hospital. Yeah, 24/7.
Which hasn't been that long because we had her in the NICU for 2 weeks, and she's like a little over a month old now. But
so she's
been 2 weeks home basically. Yeah. So yeah, it was weird. It was weird just walking away and being like, wait, what?
Yeah, this we just gave her pizza money and said, right. Like, if you get hungry, call that's this right. number.
She was fine when we got back, so it's cool.
It was crazy, yeah. No, we had the grandparents look after her. And, yes. We have, my parents don't live that far away, and your parents live even closer. And so, yeah, we went to go see Logan. We went out to dinner. We started walking around the mall, and we went to Hot Topic.
We did.
Because that's what we do. Like, we're like, okay, we got some free time. What are we going to do? We're going to go see a movie, get some dinner, and go to Hot Topic.
Of course we are. Yeah.
And we bought Eleven from Stranger Things, a Pop Funko.
The Hot Topic exclusive.
Yes, that's a very important distinction. A Hot Topic exclusive. You can only buy this at Hot Topic.
That's right.
Yeah.
We're not getting paid by Hot Topic. Why are we always...
I legit, actually, I'm gonna go contact their public relations. Because we give them so much free advertisement that we need to get some sort of sponsorship.
Oh my gosh. If we did, or if they gave us like free stuff, we would have no room to put it all because it would be insane.
We would have like a Jack and Sally Night Before Christmas choker set and an Ariel swimsuit and a Naruto... backpack, you know,
that's
just
right.
It would be filled with so much stuff.
That's right.
Yeah. Like plus size skinny jeans. I don't even know how they make those, but they exist because it's Hot Topic. That should be the name of the episode.
Oh my God. Really?
Plus size skinny jeans.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, I noticed being out and about because I've taken her out just because mommy needs a mental break, even if she's asleep the whole time. I've noticed that I attract a lot more attention when I'm out and about, like obviously, like by myself, no one notices.
What are you talking about?
Yeah, no,
people notice
stops
you all
or
the time.
Talk to me, but I notice, like obviously, when you have like a newborn, everyone's like, "Oh, how old?" And
it's true.
Oh my
though.
Goodness!
Like people will like when they realize that it's a newborn, not just a kid, but a newborn.
Yeah,
they have no boundaries. That's pushing it, but. They will feel no social anxiety. Like, they will just come straight up to you and go like, oh my God, that's a new baby.
Yeah. And it's funny because, like, you know, being when you're pregnant, you kind of expect some of that where people like would talk to you and stuff like that. But I didn't really experience too much of that when I was pregnant. But like having her out and about, man, you know, it's one of those situations where basically anyone I come in contact with, I'm going to have a conversation about her. So... Yeah.
It's funny when we tell them her name, like, and sometimes they'll ask for the full name, and we're not going to give it. But, like, when we do, I think the most common reaction is, whoa.
It's epic.
Like, that's a name.
Yeah.
It's funny, though, like, when we mention Ripley as her middle name, mm-hmm. it gives you this immediate kinship with that people. That's like the third time I've said that phrase, but like it's this immediate connection, this nerd connection, where people are like, oh, wait. Like, is
trying
that,
to figure it out.
Like, is that from Aliens? Like, yeah. is that Ripley from Aliens? Or like Ripley's Believe It or Not? I was like, no, it's Ripley's from Aliens. They're like, oh, that's cool.
Yeah. Even her first name, a lot of people ask us, like, how did you come up with that? And
because her first name does have a geek connection.
Yeah, it does.
It's a loose, it's loosely a geek connection, yeah. But both of her names.
See, I feel like you're teasing too much.
I might be, but these people aren't going to figure it out. But yeah, so with the media consumption has been a little bit different with having a baby, but
I mean, and not being sleep deprived.
But like not as bad as like people said. And
No.
It's because you and I have been tag teaming it. Like the 2 a.m. feedings and the 4 a.m. feedings and everything like that. It's not that bad. Like it's I mean, like we're having the free time. I'm like, I have another 2 weeks off from my paternity leave. So that's going to be freaking sweet to stay at home with you guys. Like not just in the hospital.
Right.
Now 2 weeks actually at home.
Yeah.
So that'll be good. And we finished The Young Pope.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to give too much away about it, though, because I want people to see it. I mean, all I can say is, I mean, that was one of the most entertaining shows that I've ever seen from beginning to middle.
Yeah, but it kind of petered out towards the end.
Petered out.
It was a little hard to even get through it a little bit there at the end.
Oh, man, it was just, it's not like they did anything bad at the end. It's not like they did anything off-putting or anything that was just like, ugh, why did they do that? You know, it was really just, this is nowhere near as interesting as it was.
It almost felt like they like ran out of cool material towards the end. Or we just, I don't feel like they really utilized his character to the fullest potential of his, you know, the way that Lenny was.
Right.
So it just, yeah, that's all I have to say about that.
It's,
you know?
It's true that there were so many moments, like the first couple of, like more than the first few episodes, we would end the episode and I'd go, wow, man, that was enjoyable. Or wow, that character is just so cool.
Mm-hmm.
Like you'd have cool monologues or just have really interesting sayings or perspectives or events happen and everything like that. And then towards the end, you're just kind of like, what are we doing?
It's true.
We're just wasting time. Even though the season was only 10 episodes, it made you feel like, oh, they should have pulled a British route and just done 6.
Yeah, that's kind of how I felt. I feel like those were solid. Those, like you said, from beginning to middle. But then it just kind of like, eh.
And now there's rumors that there's going to be a second season and we might get it in 2018. And the creator says that he already has the second season written, but they're waiting on a green light or they're waiting on a schedule. I'm not quite sure. And we're not going to spoil the ending for you guys. But once you see it, you'll understand our hesitation. How and why would you have a second season after that?
Yeah, it doesn't make sense. Yeah, it doesn't make sense at all. And it feels very like, this is the end of this chapter. This is the end of what we want to see. So I don't know. I don't know where you go with it from there.
See, that's the thing is that like, I don't know where you'd go with that. And also like the end was very fine. Like the end was very final, but with how bad they petered out at the end, part of me is like, yeah, give me a second season, redeem those last couple of episodes, make that character interesting again. And the other part of me is like, just be done with it.
So it's like the same feeling you had at the end of the Gilmore Girls.
It is. No, but the Gilmore Girls revival. Why'd you have to bring that up? The Gilmore Girls revival made me angry in parts.
Yeah.
Like what they did to characters was a betrayal to that character.
Whereas this is just like, do I need to see more?
Yeah, this one was really just like, oh, you guys wasted the time that you had with Gilmore Girls. It was, you did a disservice to these characters.
Gotcha.
I don't think any disservice was done to the characters in Young Pope. I just think it was not utilized well.
Yeah, I understand that.
So that's what I think about that. So yeah, I was on track. Young Pope was being on track for being more enjoyable than Westworld for me.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, not for me.
I can tell. But no, those first few episodes, I was floored. I was like, this is so good. But Westworld used its time wisely. And Westworld was,
I feel it was a very planned out Westworld. Like, each episode had a purpose. Mm-hmm. Whereas I kind of felt like Young Pope, we were stretching the story very hard.
And we drop some stories and then pop some stories back up. And It was odd.
Yeah. Logan.
Logan. Okay, so what we're going to do, folks, is we're going to talk about Logan in the abstract just for a little bit, just to give our impressions and tell you whether we liked it or disliked it, what we thought, and then we're going to get into spoiler territory, because we don't like doing complete spoiler-free shows, but because we're recording this on opening weekend in the U.S., we know a lot of people haven't seen it yet, but we also know that a lot of people like to listen to our show. That's what we're going to do. So right out of the gate, what did you think of Logan? Without giving any spoilers, you know, I want to ask you a question.
Okay.
Before you tell me what you thought of it.
Okay.
So you've seen every X-Men film.
Yes.
Multiple times.
Yes.
And you've seen the original trilogy. You saw the Days of Future Past and First Class mm-hmm. stuff. You even saw the standalones like Wolverine Origins and the Wolverine and everything like that. So
well, part of that's because I really love Hugh Jackman quite a bit.
It's true. You do have a huge crush on the Jackman. True.
Yes, I do.
And maybe later I'll use this as a film the excuse to talk about when I met him. So you've seen all those movies. You're a hardcore mm-hmm. geek, but you're not exactly a big X-Men fan.
No. You know? Yeah. I'm not.
You just watch it because you're a geek.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's not like I'm hardcore about it, but I do enjoy watching them. I would even venture to say maybe with the first set of movies that came out, I would rather watch those than some of the Avengers and stuff like that. Even when it comes to like a band of superheroes working together, I like the concept of the X-Men more than the Avengers.
It's interesting that you say that, because I was just talking with Matt Hansen, who is a co-founder of the Nerd Party and currently on sabbatical. You can catch him sometimes on Filibuster, but he was talking about how we were talking about Logan in like, for those of you who don't know, like all of the hosts of the Nerd Party, we have a private chat room and we text each other back and forth, and we have group chats and we talk about movies and new releases and movie news and everything like that. And that's actually like half of the fun of having this network is is talking to everybody. But Matt Hansen was talking about X-Men 2, where he said that even after Logan, X-Men 2 was his favorite. And I said, I was like, you know what? I don't understand the love towards X2. I mean, it's a good movie, but everyone talks about how it's the best X-Men movie. I never really understood that. And I'm not knocking it, but I never really got behind X-Men 2 like the rest of the world did. And he said almost the exact same thing that you did, where he's like, even though you had X-Men 1, but like that was the beginning of everything, X-Men 2 really showed the ensemble. It showed a team of superheroes working together. Mm-hmm. We never had that before. And X-Men and X-Men 2 really, really opened the door for superheroes in film, and especially the ensemble. So it was the Avengers before the Avengers.
Yeah, and I think the idea of, like, you know, them finding each other because they're mutants, you know, because they're unique and they're different. And, you know, it's not something where, like, you know, I just feel like the reason why they're together and, like, you know, Professor, you know, Xavier, like, coming, like, getting them together and, like, teaching them, like, you know, just the idea of the school mm-hmm. and that they are able to use those skills out in the world. You know, I do like that ensemble, and I like the idea of it more.
It's true. Like, with the Avengers, it's pretty much, oh, we're all superheroes, and sometimes the world's in trouble, so let's get together and save it. But with the X-Men, it's, we are wanted by the government.
Exactly.
And so, you know, like, let's have a safe haven for mutants at the same time. You know, let's protect the world from the other mutants who are trying to do Homo sapiens harm. So, like, it's a little bit more of a clear-cut, maybe not clear-cut's the right word, but it's a little bit of a more cohesive mission and a little bit less nonchalant of or indescript as let's just save the world sometimes.
Right.
And yeah, and I think I like that. I feel like the X-Men franchise is a little underrated when compared to like DC's Batman or the Avengers or anything like that mm-hmm. because I don't know. Why do you think that is? Why is 20th Century Fox's X-Men kind of the redheaded stepchild of superhero movies?
I don't know. I guess maybe it didn't find its footing at the right time. Like, maybe, I don't know. Like, maybe if it had come out more, like, now, because we're so used to, like, the idea of the Avengers or superhero films. I feel like it was superhero films before we really got into superhero genre. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like it was Bryan Singer who did the originals. I feel like he kind of paved that way, where then we were kind of a little bit more adjusted to seeing that instead mm-hmm. of, you know, like your... I mean, there were other superhero films, don't get me wrong. Like, yeah. You had Superman and everything like that.
Superman, Batman.
Yeah, and Batman, everything like that. But seeing this type of superhero film, I feel like it was kind of unique to that time.
I think that's an interesting way to put it, where it ushered in an era, but at the same time, it got left behind.
Yeah.
That's interesting. I wonder about that, because whenever we talk about superhero films, the top two tier that everyone mentions is DC and Marvel.
Mm-hmm.
I think... it's because, I don't know, because X-Men is a Marvel property, but yet it's run by not Marvel. Like,
right.
I don't know. Anyway.
Yeah.
We're going way off topic from my original question. I don't even know. I can't even remember what my original question was. Well, I guess, okay, with the body of work that is X-Men
mm-hmm.
and the body of work that is Wolverine, because mm-hmm. that's basically synonymous.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure you have argument there, but.
Yeah. So when Logan was released, were you thinking, okay, do we need another Wolverine film? Shouldn't we be done with Wolverine films? You know, like, when it was first announced that there was going to be another Wolverine standalone film, what was your gut reaction?
Well, I think when it was first announced, I think I looked at you and you were like, really, another one? Because, I mean, he's been doing this for how many years?
17.
That's insane.
That's 17 years.
That's insane. But once we heard what kind of film it was or what direction it was going into, and, like, seeing the trailer, we were obviously, I mean, we even talked about it on the podcast. Mm-hmm. We were both so on board. It was like, okay, maybe this is going to be a lot more... indie in feel. Not really indie, but you know what I'm saying, like smaller,
down to earth.
So I was all on board about it, just because, well, and also it's Hugh Jackman, so.
So, all right, walking out of the theater, what were your feelings?
Oh, I was so happy with it. I was just super excited, and you were too. I could tell. I'll speak for you.
what made you excited? Why did you like it?
It just was everything that I asked for in a superhero film of this type.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I feel like we were talking, you know, just a few podcasts ago about how we were so tired of seeing that beam of light and, you know, the Avengers having to save the world, or the Suicide Squad having to save the world, which doesn't even make sense. And it was just nice to see a smaller story where it was literally, we have to get from point A to point B, and there's some crazy stuff that happens in between, but it's not so crazy that it involves the whole world. Or other Earth, you know, like, I mean, yes, we got mutants going on, but it's on a smaller scale.
Not even that many mutants.
No. Well, and it's like that, the Dark Knight idea again, where, mm-hmm. you know, for it to be a Batman film, it doesn't mean that we have to save the world. We are literally just trying to stop.
A madman,
and that's it.
That's the storyline.
Exactly. So it's the same idea. It's like, okay, we've got to get from point A to point B, and... we'll see what happens in between.
Mm-hmm.
And that's so refreshing. And it's kind of sad that that's refreshing.
It is sad that that's refreshing, yeah.
Because I feel like so many other superhero films have to take us on so many either side track stories that we don't need.
Mm.
Or it's just so grand that it's like, really? The world's in jeopardy again? Why don't you just show us the coolness of this character? And I feel like they were able to explore the characters way more because they went small.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, that's the thing. It's like, you're able to do that. You're able to explore a character when it's smaller, when you don't have 15 superheroes in one film.
Right.
And when you don't have all these grandiose set pieces that take up all this time,
mm-hmm.
you can actually have these people have conversations.
Right.
And talk about themselves and talk about the situations and explore their inner demons and see them try to shake them.
Yeah. And that was a lot of the film.
Yeah. Yeah,
that was a lot of the film. And that was awesome. Because you really got more of the character of Logan. Mm-hmm. And that's why it's called Logan and not Wolverine. Because you're really getting him and where he's at now in his life.
Yeah, it's true. So, he doesn't want to be the Wolverine anymore.
Exactly.
He's technically kind of not the Wolverine anymore.
Right.
And that is interesting. And it takes place in the future, but not a far-fledged future. Like, nothing crazy. Like,
well, I even thought it was interesting that they didn't go for, like, super futuristic things in the movie, like, that you saw. Like, it was very much so, like, what it is right now.
Yeah.
Because I think that they realized that trap of, okay, it's 2029, but
everyone's going to have holograms
exactly,
and flying cars.
Exactly. Yeah. Whereas, you know, keep it simple and just say, okay, it's in the near future here. We can give a date if we're not so crazy with our future technology that we can show that, you know, it's, you know. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Oh, I absolutely know what you're saying.
I was like, wow, this is shocking that they actually didn't do that.
It is such a common trap.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Blade Runner.
Yeah.
You know, what took place in, like, we're already past Blade Runner years. And if you look at that, you're like, oh my God, you know, like, it looks like it's 1,000 years in the future and we're already past it. And it was like, no, that was made in the 80s. Like, what's going on?
Right. Or projections of what might happen. It was much more realistic.
Yeah.
So that was nice.
Yeah. I didn't even really think about that, but you're right. It's nothing was over the top when it came to that. But yeah, I walked to the theater and I loved it. I thought it was great. I thought it was easily the best X-Men film ever made.
Oh, yeah.
X-Men 2, absolutely. Days of Future Past, both great movies, but they don't hold a candle to Logan.
Yeah, I agree. And I really enjoyed it, yeah.
And the thing is, though, like, I have to realize that without those movies, Logan would be nothing.
Oh, yeah, that's true. That's true. It wouldn't make sense, you know,
like
in some way.
It's a story that is a standalone story, but at the same time, you cannot appreciate it unless you at least watch the original movies.
I completely agree.
Like, you could skip Future Past and
the cameos.
Yeah, you could skip Days of Future Past and definitely Apocalypse and First Class and you probably even, you know, skip the Wolverine or X-Men Origins and the Wolverine, everything like that, and just watch the original three. Actually, no, you can't, because
I was gonna say, I think you have to have some of that origin stuff.
Professor,
right?
X dies in the third one.
That's true.
And they have to figure anyway, it's I'm not gonna go down that rabbit hole of the convoluted timeline that is X-Men. But it's, yeah, I'm trying to give credit to those movies where, like, some are good, some are bad, but Logan can build off of all of them or none of them. And they kind of work that into the storyline with the comic books. Apparently they exist in a universe where the X-Men is a comic book, but the comic book is based off of real life. And he has that line of, like, maybe a quarter of it happened, but not like this.
Right.
And so we talked about this a couple of podcasts ago, where I love that, where it could be like, is this in the Days of Future Past storyline? Is this in the X-1 storyline?
Yeah.
You know, is it not? Is it in something completely separate? You don't know. And that's okay, because that's freaking awesome.
Exactly. And sometimes I feel like less is more. We were even talking about this where we did talk about it before. Actually, I knew that you liked it because you're like, I can't wait until the podcast to talk about it. So that was interesting, that because that's not usually the case. We usually wait, although we didn't know when we were going to be able to podcast, because now our lives are a little crazier. So, yeah, it was interesting because you were like, you know, I kind of wanted to know what happened to some of the other characters. And I was like, but if you start answering those questions about, you know, what happened to them, then there's always going to be one that you're like, well, what happened to them? What happened to them? So it was kind of nice just to, like, be like, yep, like, certain people are not here anymore, and leave it at that. And don't answer those questions. Don't even open that door. And they didn't. And I liked that.
I think that was very astute of you, because I did. That my knee-jerk reaction, I feel like we've been trained as nerds for the past decade to constantly ask those questions and get those questions answered.
True.
By the content creators. Because we're this whiny generation of nerds that just beg and plead for more. Like, we find out that a film is shooting. Oh, well, when are we going to get the trailer? Then the trailer's out, and we're just like, oh, when are we gonna get the final trailer?
Mm-hmm.
The final trailer's out. It was like, okay, well, when's the release date? And then we go see the film, and they're like, well, what about this? What about that? Well, answer this. It better have this.
Right.
And it's just we're constantly needing and wanting and yelling and screaming online and to each other and to the actual content creators, because we have that direct access to the content creators now via Twitter and Facebook and things like that. And so we're an instant gratification nerd culture now.
Mm-hmm.
We weren't always that way. And so I feel like I've been bred of that, and I need to shake it off, because I asked you that question. I was just like, yeah, I kind of wanted to know what happened to Gene, you know, what happened to Scott, you know, like, are they still around? Or are they off in the woods, or did they die, you know, everything like that. And you said that, you said, like, we shouldn't know, we don't need to know, because once you open that up, it's just this whole new can of worms. It just tumbles out.
Well, and I also feel like not knowing, for me at least, it allows me to imagine what happened to them versus being disappointed with an answer I'm not really happy with. So I'm okay with it. I'm completely okay with it. But yeah, I loved it. Can we talk about more like nitty gritty
stuff? Yeah. Okay. So guys, we both loved it. Everyone should go see it.
Mm-hmm.
It really is worth seeing it. It's worth seeing it in the theater, just so you don't get it spoiled. Because just today, people were openly talking about the ending on Twitter, and it was really pissing me off.
Really?
Yeah.
It's really frustrating.
It's a really nice moment at the end, and it's really interesting and everything like that. And people are just like, oh my God, can you believe it? They're like, no, people who haven't seen it can't believe it. So shut your face. but yeah. So, okay, here we go. Spoiler territory from here on out. You've been warned. 3, 2, 1, spoiler territory. Go.
Okay. Well, first of all, I really loved the idea of how Logan was just so down and out and like had fallen so far from being this, you know, savior of, you know, of
mutant
of,
kind.
Yeah. And, or, yeah, you know, the United States or whatever. Yeah. Mutant kind. And I just really liked seeing that. And yet you're sad. You're mm-hmm. like, wow, like he's fallen so far. He has such a crappy life.
Yeah. He's a chauffeur.
Yeah.
Just to make ends meet mm-hmm. so that he can buy Xavier medicine.
Yeah.
Like, that's his life.
That's crazy. And I was happy that they did not shy away from the very right out the gate. They were like, okay, this is rated R, and here you go.
Yes. The opening scene.
Yeah.
I love it when a movie has an opening scene that sets the tone.
It was like, okay, either stay or get out.
Yeah. Yeah, it was. It was a warning to all of those idiot moronic parents who brought their kids to a rated R film. They're like, oh, it's an X-Men film. They like, little Johnny loves X-Men. He loves Wolvie.
Yeah.
You know,
no.
and then like in the scene, like he's, you know, he's slicing people's arms off and throats and
you can see it through their face, and
like, this is rated R violence. This is not PG-13 no, violence.
No. Blood.
Yeah, like
everything.
Blood,
yeah.
Dismemberment. Claws through the face.
Yeah, that's
upwards,
that was what
skull.
Really got to, like, yeah. Whoa.
and I love it. I love it when a movie sets a tone in the opening scene. We're talking like American Gangster, Departed, The Dark Knight, Star Trek 09. You know, all of them have these amazing hooks where you're just like, wow, this movie is going to be good. And
yeah,
this is what the movie is going to look like. And there's a phrase. Here, I don't like gratuitous violence.
No.
I don't like gratuitous sex. I don't like gratuity. That's not the right word. But I don't like that. I don't like excess.
Not in excess, yeah.
But there is something. When violence is done well, whether it's gory or not, if it's done well and with a purpose, I thoroughly enjoy it because I'm an American. And Logan did violence very well.
Yeah, it was purposeful. There was a purpose to everything, and I think also having the rated R, like umbrella, it made it okay too,
mm-hmm.
because it was like, this is what you're getting into, and so it's, you know, just understand that. So, yeah, I felt like everything was really, it was very violent, but it didn't bother me.
Yeah, it's funny that you said that, like, if they tried to sneak in, like, maybe one of those things or two of those things in a PG-13 X-Men film, you'd be like, whoa! You know, like, you'd be kind of like, where did that come from, seriously, guys? But because this is R, and they very much advertised it as R, yeah, and let you know, you went into it knowing that that was going to happen, mm-hmm, if you were smart and did your research.
Right.
And so it was okay. You're just kind of like, oh, all
right. Right.
Okay.
Yeah. Even, like, the violence with the kids, like, you know, her, and when, you know, later on in the movie when there's, like, all the little kid mutants, you know, you would not see that in PG-13 because it would be like, oh my gosh, they're children, like, you shouldn't show that, you know.
You can't show children committing violence.
Right, yeah. Or even, you know, people running, trying to hurt, because they were trying to hurt her,
yeah,
or kill her, do something to, you know, they were trying to get her. That in itself is, like, sometimes a little taboo, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. That is adult content, mm-hmm, when they warn you before HBO. it's so with all that in mind, like, the violence was done fantastically. There was a clear purpose. There was a clear goal. It was get this kid to North Dakota,
mm-hmm,
by Friday.
Yeah.
It was a road film.
Yeah.
And it was a father-son, father-daughter, a road movie, mm-hmm, that dealt with the exploitation of poor women of color and the boundaries of genetic engineering.
Yeah.
And it's just, and like, it's all of this wrapped together in like a man dealing with what he was and what he is, and you know, him going through poisoning of what gave him power is now bringing him death and suffering. And same with Xavier. It's just like all of this was just wrapped into one. And you're just like, holy crap. Not only is this a great character piece, it has something to say.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I feel like it was so tragic seeing Xavier like that.
Oh, geez.
Yeah. Like, ugh. How we've come to this point.
Not only seeing Xavier that way, but seeing Patrick Stewart that way. Because I know that they aged him.
Sure.
You know, like, because he's a very vital man. He's getting older.
Yeah.
But he's still a very vital man.
Yeah.
But for some reason, when I first saw him come on screen, I was just like, oh, he's not that far away.
Yeah.
Like, and I was just like, it was like that moment where I'm like, no, I don't want him to die. You know, like, I don't.
Yeah, no, I get it. Yeah, definitely. His mortality.
Yeah,
is on display there. Yeah, and just the idea of him, like, we were talking about, the idea of the most powerful mind
in the world, having dementia, or
right,
having Alzheimer's or ALS or something like that.
Right.
You're like, that's such a great concept from a sci-fi perspective. What if?
Mm-hmm.
What if the most powerful mind ever made, ever created, ever born,
right,
you know, like, got dementia,
right,
what does that look like?
Yeah.
And we got to see what that looks like, and
it's tragic.
When he has a seizure, he basically stops the world and no one knows what's going on. Like, he stops the vicinity,
mm-hmm,
and everybody's freaking out, they can't breathe, they pass out and everything like that. And when Logan was wheeling him out of the casino, and he started saying, "I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry" to everyone.
That was probably the saddest moment in the whole movie.
I'm getting choked up now.
Right?
I'm getting choked up now.
It was so sad, so sad. Ugh.
It was just this.
Yeah.
I have not felt this way about a superhero film since Batman.
Yeah, I would say so.
Is that right?
Probably.
I think so.
Probably, because, I mean, it had a lot of emotional moments. I mean, we explored these emotions,
mm-hmm,
very well. I mean, even, like, the idea of, like, all they wanted to do was get enough money to buy a boat and go on the ocean so they could be away from everyone and not affect anyone, and, like...
It was like a Shawshank Redemption, but they didn't actually make it to the
beach.
Right,
exactly. Oh my gosh, seriously. And you knew they weren't going to.
Mm-hmm.
You knew that it wasn't going to happen.
But what made it even more heartbreaking to me is that you knew that Logan was going to follow through with it.
Mm.
Like, mm-hmm, you knew, like, there's so many times when you have that reluctant hero who will just tell the old man what he wants to hear and say, like, oh, yeah, you know, like, when our ship comes in.
Yeah, no,
you
know, it was,
No, he was saving up money, and he was going to take Xavier on the boat, and he was going to live with Xavier until he died.
Yeah, it's true.
And you knew he was genuine. You knew that's what he was going to do.
And even just the fact that, you know, through the years, that relationship stayed was, you know, even like seeing him carry Xavier, you know, up the stairs or, you know, wherever he needed to go. Like, that was just like, again, you're reminded both of these men are older, you know, and they're there for each other. And even keeping it so small with, like, you know, we had basically the three mutants and then we had the little girl to have, you know, kind of like the protagonists, you know. Obviously, you have, you know, Logan being the main one. I liked the fact that we didn't see a ton of other mutants.
Right.
Like, we kept it small until we got to, you know, like, the Eden, timeline.
When we needed
that
time, to.
Like, you know, area. Yeah, when we needed to. It was just nice to see that, like, small group because it's more realistic. You know, it's not like everyone was just, like, hanging out with Logan. You know, living together again, like the school. That's gone. Those days are gone.
You don't have that situation where, like, all of a sudden they're presented with the girl. They're presented with Laura X-23. And they're like, do you know who could help us with this? Jean. Or we need to go find Rogue. Let's go see Rogue and see if she can help us.
Yeah.
Like, they didn't have, like, little pit stops along the way where they found a new mutant where we're just like, oh, it's a cameo of Scott. It's a cameo of Storm.
I loved the fact that we didn't have that.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. It was because that would have ruined it. I feel like you keep it small, keep it simple.
Yeah.
And they did.
And I'm glad that they kept it. I'm glad that they said it. I haven't read the Old Man Logan comic. I know it's a post-apocalyptic world and it's filled with crazy stuff. And when we think post-apocalyptic, we think desert for some reason. You know, like, we think Mad Max.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And so, even though this is not a post-apocalyptic world, this is a post-mutant world.
Mm-hmm.
Which, so I guess it was post-apocalyptic for them, but not for Homo sapiens. But I like that they set it in Texas and Mexico, because they were able to keep that desert feel for a long time until they got to North Dakota with the tree, like, you know, quote unquote Eden with trees and mountains and rivers and everything like that.
Right.
And so we went from this desolate place up into, you know, something with life, you know, like, even if it's not actual, it's still visual.
Yeah.
I appreciated that a great deal. What did you think of X-23? What did you think of Laura?
I thought she did a great job. You know, it was kind of like that actually 11 type feeling.
Oh, yeah.
Where, you know, they both have very talented, like, little girl actresses and, you know, say a lot with speaking.
Very little,
yeah, very little words. But when she did start speaking, it was really cute. Like, it was really fun to, you know, and I think it was, like, the right timing, too.
Yeah.
And I thought it was crazy how, like, you know, her mad skills, her ability to kill and stuff like that. I also liked the backstory of, you know, her coming from this government facility.
Was it government? I don't know.
No, it was private, right? It was private sector.
Private. Yeah, you're private,
right. Yeah, but this idea that she, you know, she was a lab child, you know.
Oh, I loved that segment. Like, when we got the camera phone footage from the Mexican nurse. And
it was so interesting.
It was so interesting. It was so well executed. And the camera footage looked like camera footage. It looked like phone footage.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't look like somebody grabbed a, you know, like a $700,000 camera and had multiple angles and, you know, and everything like that. It was like, no, it looked like it was taken from a cell phone and the angles were believable and it was stitched together in a believable way.
Yeah. It was.
And so that helped suck you into the reality of it.
Yeah.
And made it look realistic, even though you're dealing with these, you know, these kids with powers. And it's just, you can see this crap happening.
Yeah.
Like I know that we don't live in a world with mutants or we live in a world with special abilities like that, but you could see this kind of garbage happening from a private sector where they take advantage of lower economic status women, especially women of color in a different country, and utilize them in order for their own selfish needs just to make money, to find a perfect soldier. Like, I feel like we're, we're a couple decades from that. I do. And that's scary. It's terrifying. And we can ask those questions with a sci-fi film or with a superhero film, you know, whatever you want to call
it. Well, I feel like we've been asking that in the sci-fi realm, super soldier type question forever, you know. Mm-hmm. But it was just interesting to see what they would do, like, you know, with the DNA that they had, you know, with the mutant DNA, which was interesting. And then to realize, okay, well, these kids care. We've got to eliminate them. You know, they have a soul. They have, you know, so we've got to get rid of them. I thought it was interesting. I actually brought up to you, I was like, I don't know if I needed her to be Logan's daughter.
Yeah, there. As much as I liked the film, as much as I loved the film, I thought it was great. There was a few things where it was just kind of like, some things were unnecessary, some were a little slow. But yeah, her being Logan's daughter,
it felt a little cliche to me.
It was cliche. It was forced.
I felt like it would have been more powerful even from my perspective if she wasn't and she just had like similar abilities and he kind of took her under his wing eventually. Mm-hmm. You know, I feel like it didn't necessarily need to be his daughter. Like I felt like it would have been just fine if they had that kinship of like father-daughter without, you know, genetically sharing anything.
I think that's the thing, is that it would be more in line with X-Men thinking, because X-Men is all about found family, created family.
Yeah.
About a mutant family, where a lot of these mutants, most of these mutants were rejected by society or rejected by their families.
Right.
And so they came together to create family. You know, Xavier and Logan aren't father and son.
Right.
But yet they have that type of relationship.
Absolutely.
And so it would have made sense if Logan and Laura had that same kind of relationship of created family,
yeah,
because of a special bond of circumstance and ability, not just of genetics.
Yeah, that's how I felt about it. But,
yeah. Yeah, I agree with you on that one.
Yeah, I mean, but it still was great. It's just, I don't think it was necessary.
And like with all, you know, road films specifically, and also a lot of superhero films, it gets a little muddy in the middle.
Yeah, yeah. Where did you feel like it kind of got a little muddy?
I'm trying to think here. I tried to say like the house got a little slow, like when they got to the farmhouse.
Mm.
But
I felt like when they got to Eden,
I think
that's where it got slow.
You kind of changed my mind on that one. Where I felt like they were dragging their feet. I was just kind of like, why are we here? Why are we dealing with the water situation? Why do we care about that? Like, why do we care about these men coming in from another company, threatening the farmhouse? Like, we know Logan's a badass. We don't need him to scare off these business type who are trying to take my land, you know, like,
yeah.
Everything like that. It just felt like a trope. But, you know, they got back to the story pretty quickly. And I think you were like, once we got to Eden, that's when I was like, okay, all right, come on. We all know we're nearing the end. Let's not draw this out. I feel like this 2-hour and 20-minute film could be closer to 2 hours.
That's how I felt too. I feel like certain parts maybe could have been more succinct, but I mean, we're nitpicking here.
We are. our, that's the thing, is that any disagreements we had or any negativity we had towards this film is really straight up just nitpicking.
Yeah,
that's all it is. It's just nitpicking, because the other films that we saw last year, you know, like some of the Marvel films, some of the DC films, even some of the other X-Men films, were just like, oh.
Yeah.
Like, it's just like this was wrong. This was wrong. This plot was wrong. This characterization was wrong. Not with Logan.
No. And I even felt like when it did get slow, it got back. Like you said, it got back to where it needed to go quickly. So it kept on track too. It didn't like veer off at all too.
I think maybe another reason why I didn't like the farmhouse, or maybe because I thought it was slow, is because it was so predictable. The moment that woman got out of the truck, instead of like, here's the thing, if the horses got on the highway and then Xavier and Logan helped them get the horses back in, now if they just said thanks and then went on their way, that would have been interesting. Like, where do we go? What do we do next? But no, the moment that the mom and wife opened her mouth and said, hey, you should come on down to our house, have some dinner, I was like, oh, great. They're dead. I was like, that family is dead.
Yeah.
Because that happens all the time, especially in X-Men films. And I know that's...
That's true. I didn't think about that.
Think about all the X-Men films that we've seen. Whenever somebody shows Logan some kindness, they're usually in the woods, or they're in a farmhouse, or they have a secluded house somewhere, and it's because Logan helped them out, and they're just like, hey, stay the night. You can spend the night in the barn. Or, you know, like, or like sleep on the couch. Me or my wife will be dead in the morning. You know, it's just, that is such a huge trope in these films that I was really hoping that we would avoid that.
Well, and I feel like it was a little, when they did go to the farmhouse and when they stayed the night, I was kind of like, They're on the run. This is not fair to this family because they know they're on the run and they know that they've been finding them.
Yeah.
So that part bothered me because I felt like they would have been smarter than that. And even the way that it happened, like where Xavier is just like, no, we should stay.
Yeah.
It was just kind of like, you know, no, it's, you know, it's cool. We'll stay. There wasn't a purpose for them really staying.
I think it was Xavier being tired. I think he's 90, you know, he's just like, I think it was just him reaching his limit. But you're right. I agree with you because I was thinking the same exact thing. When Logan was up, and he even said that to Xavier, he said, he's like, you know that this is dangerous. You know that people are after us. I was thinking the same exact thing about how that's not fair to that family.
No.
You are putting that family in danger.
Right.
And that family is now dead because of you.
Right.
And they didn't need to be.
No, they didn't. Yeah. So how did you feel about, since we're on the farmhouse part, how did you feel about the, you know, younger Logan, Wolverine?
X-24. I have mixed emotions about that. Because right when I first saw him, I was just like, oh, that's X-24. Oh. Like, I was just kind of like, Like, that, I can...
What would you have rather been?
Here's the thing. I wanted it to be something new or different. I wanted it to be something that we hadn't seen. I wanted it to... Like, why does it absolutely have to be, you know, like, 100% human? You know, like, what if it was something a little bit messed up or... Or what if it was something even more animalistic? I was thinking, it was like, what if it was Sabretooth? You know, like something from a mutant from his past, you know, that he, you know, that he has had dealings with that, you know, in the past or something like that. I don't know. I'm not saying that's a better idea. I'm not saying Sabretooth is a better idea. That's just popped in my head. But I get what they were going for. It's the young Logan. It's the strong Logan. It's what he used to be. You know, he's fighting himself. I get it. I get the metaphor.
It reminded me of Terminator when they did that. The CGI.
It's so true. I didn't even think about that.
Did he fight himself too in that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, he did in Terminator Genesis.
You know, because we talked about this and I was like, okay, but what would you have it be? Would you want to add another character? Whereas this doesn't really add another character. It's more of just a force.
True. And, it's true.
And the thing that I brought up was, okay, if you don't have something else for him to fight, then it's just the same antagonist the entire time. You know, it's that private sector government.
So it gets repetitive.
Yeah, like you've got the, you know, people, you know, that guy with the one arm after him.
Who I really liked, by the
way. Oh, yeah. He was a cool
antagonist. I like that actor.
Antagonist.
I want to see what else he's done.
Yeah.
Because I think he's talented.
He was very cool. And you just, like, he was a bad guy you wanted to see more of.
Mm-hmm.
And you wanted to see more of, like, his backstory even, you know. But we saw enough of him. Don't get me wrong. It just, he was an interesting character.
Yeah.
But if you just had, like, the same, like, at the farmhouse, if we just had them there, we didn't have another force, it wouldn't make sense. Like, we have to have something for him to fight.
I like your point about introducing another character, about like, oh, we have this new character to deal with. We have this, you know, like, we have a new face that we have to remember and everything like that. I like it. It helped. It added something new, but still kept it small.
Yeah.
Because
if you have introduced like someone, Sabretooth or another mutant or something like that, then you'd have to like have more backstory of how did they get there and stuff like that, whereas this was very succinctly like summed up as
they
far
already
as
had Wolverine's we already DNA, had
so, yeah, yeah, so it made sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. You're leaning me more towards it. But I'm still not there. So with the what did you think? Did Logan have to die?
Yes.
Why?
It was time. I felt the entire movie that he was going to die. I wasn't, and yet at the same time, I don't know if I was so sure about Xavier, and yet that's so silly because of course he was going to die, right?
Oh, okay, let's talk about Xavier's death.
Okay.
I was expecting something way more grand.
Yeah, me too.
And maybe that's why they did that. Maybe that's why they did a small death, is because we were expecting some big shebang.
So just kind of like take him out quietly?
It was subverting our expectations. Maybe I'm giving him too much credit.
Like not everyone has to go out, you know.
With self-sacrifice. Yeah. Not everybody has to explode while letting them get away in the chase, you know, and everything like that.
Because even the way that Logan died, you know, it wasn't this grand thing because like no one really saw it. Do you know what I'm saying?
It's true. The kids were already saved by that point.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So it was kind of like this crap happens.
Yeah. I think you're right because, yeah, I felt like I was robbed of a moment when X-24 put the, at first I thought it was a dream.
Me too. I didn't realize it until he killed him that this, I don't know, like I had a hard time at first wrapping my head around like where is Logan and what's happening.
Yeah, like the moment that the claws went in, I didn't react to it because I was just like, oh, it's a dream. It's okay. He's going to wake up. He's not waking up. We're moving on in the scene.
But that in itself is good because I feel like it was a surprise. Mm-hmm. So the fact that you didn't realize, okay, this is not a dream. I don't know. I thought that was interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. Looking back on it, it was probably the braver choice to go smaller.
I also felt like it piggybacked off of, what was the albino's name?
Oh, Cal.
Cal?
Cal is something.
Okay.
Crap.
Yeah.
Let's just call him Cal.
Okay. So the idea of, you know, then he did the grenade thing. I felt like it all kind of was at the same time. And then, you know, you had.
That's true. He X-24 had the big sacrifice. Coming in. Yeah.
So I felt like it kind of all was this moment. And then, you know, you had Xavier die in the back of the truck. So I felt like.
And he mentioned the boat.
Oh, that was painful.
Oh, my gosh.
That was so painful. I was like, no. And then Logan had to bury him next to water. And then if you notice, they buried Logan next to water, too.
Okay, explain that to me, because I like.
Bury him next to water?
Yeah.
Because of the boat. Like, they were going.
Oh, my God. Oh.
You didn't realize that?
No, I didn't. I didn't understand what he was saying.
Yeah, he kept saying, I gotta find water. I gotta find water.
Oh, my heart.
How did you not get that? I was feeling that in the theater. I was Logan, stop talking.
I didn't know what he was saying in the theater because I couldn't understand the words. I thought he was getting so choked up, he couldn't say anything.
No, he was saying, I have to find water. I have to, about the, you know, the boat.
I had, I didn't understand the words. I didn't understand what he was saying in the theater. And that's why it didn't emotionally resonate. And so now my heart is broken all over again, live on tape for your ears. Oh, that kills me.
Yeah, and then she found water for him.
Oh, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
This movie's great on a whole nother level. Okay, we've been going on for a long time.
It doesn't feel like it. And no, I could keep going.
we need to wrap it up. Okay. So, you know, like Xavier's is dead, Logan died, and that final shot, she grabs the cross, turns it on its side, and it becomes an X.
I just got chills. It's amazing. Like, what a great way to end that chapter for those characters.
After that moment, I was like, oh, we're done. Okay, thank you, everyone. We don't need another X-Men film.
No, I feel the same way.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm good.
Yeah.
I'm good.
Like,
and please, Hugh Jackman, do not do another cameo. Like, be done with this character.
Be done.
Please, just be done.
17 years is a great run.
And go out on this note.
This is the top.
Right.
You cannot top this.
Right. What a great tribute to your character Walk away.
Like, people keep saying, like, oh, well, you know, like, he could have a Deadpool versus Wolverine movie, or he could have a cameo in Deadpool, or, you know, Xavier could have a cameo
Come
in Deadpool.
On.
No.
Just be stop. Done. Stop. Stop.
I know money is great.
Of course.
But you have enough money.
Seriously. And be kind to the character. I think that's what it is. It's like, this is a great way to end this character.
But honestly, like, when it finished and we had the credits and we had that amazing shot, that shot is going to go down in history.
It's great.
It really is. It's going to go down in history as one of the great ending moments in cinema, not just in superhero films, in films. And I thought, okay, we're done with X-Men films now. It's never going
to
happen.
No, because money is to be had. Yeah.
You know, money's awesome.
Right.
But it's just, I thought that. I was just like, we don't need any more Apocalypse or First Class or Days of Future Past or anything.
Yeah.
We're done.
Yeah. No, I get it. Yeah, completely. Like, reboot it later on in years to come.
Wait 5, 10 years, get a whole new cast.
That's what I was thinking. Yeah, and start from the beginning or whatever you want to do.
Like, have Wolverine again. Have Cyclops again. Yeah, do all that.
New characters. Just... Yeah, new actors. Yeah, but I really enjoyed it. I really enjoy this movie.
Now, before we go, I do want to mention one thing. I want to talk about something from the director, James Mangold, who actually directed
Walk the Line.
Wow, geez, it was blanking.
Which I love.
Which is a great movie. But he talks about how, like, because it's a superhero film, people keep asking, like, oh, I wonder if there's going to be a post-credit scene. What's the post-credit scene going to be? What cameos are we going to have? What teases are we going to have? And everything like that. And people kept getting disappointed that there wasn't one. People kept asking, why? And sadly, James Mangold had to give a response. And this is what he said. The only way we came out with a different movie was trying to do it differently. So I was pretty fanatical about saying, if this is how these other movies are doing it, we're going to go the other way. If there's normally a cameo or an end credit scene, we're not doing that. That's essentially turning it into a product that has to come out of the widget machine the same way every time. And that's not how the best movies are going to get made in any genre.
Yeah. And I noticed that a ton of people were staying behind in the theater to see the end credit scene. And we just both were like, no, we're leaving. Like, we're going. Because I think part of it, too, like, even I didn't know whether it was or not, like, until we researched it later on. But I'm like, no, I want that ending image to be that.
That's the thing, is that, like, if you've seen the movie.
Right.
And you saw that ending image, why on earth, as an artist, would you put anything else after it?
Right. Exactly.
You're done.
You don't want anything else.
You don't. That's the last thing you want in the viewer's mind.
Exactly.
That's what the last thing you want to hit their eyes before the names.
Right.
And it's part of that instant gratification that I was talking about earlier, where we've been bred to want more and demand more and ask for more and say, like, okay, well, then we want this, and this. And I'm really hoping that this will just open up the gates for more smaller, intimate, character-driven superhero films and just sci-fi films in general.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that superhero films are sci-fi films, but you know what I mean.
No, but I understand.
Like, genre
saying.
Films.
Yeah.
That's what I
kind
should say.
Kind of go
smaller
more
genre
towards
films.
That direction than your Beam of Light and Cookie Cutter.
We'll always have Justice League. We'll always have Avengers.
Right.
We'll always have the Beam of Light with trash in the sky.
Right.
But every once in a while, give us the Dark Knight. Every once in a while, give us Logan.
Right. Yeah, seriously.
And now I can say that in tandem. I can say, give us the Dark Knight. Give us Logan.
That's a beautiful thing.
It is a beautiful thing. Do you know what else is a beautiful thing?
No. What?
You and my other girl.
Aw, thank you.
Thank you so much for listening, everyone. It's great to be back. It's great to be on a regular schedule now. We thank you for all your well wishes. We got
a new review.
We have a new review, and we're so happy that we actually get to talk about it. This is from a person called How's Trouble. Like, that's their username, How's Trouble ?
Nice.
So that's pretty awesome. They describe us as having a truly fun, quirky, and genuine chemistry that light up every episode.
Well, thank you.
And so we thank you very much, How's Trouble, for calling us truly fantastic. It's it's great to get reviews, and we're thankful that we got another 5-star review. And if you guys like this show, if you like us, and you want to do something to help support the show and help support the network, give us a review. Go to iTunes. You can go to thenerdparty.com, scroll down to the bottom of the page, hit iTunes there. You can find us that way. And if you give us a 5-star review, we'll mention you on the show. You can give us any review you feel you is deemed worthy for us. But if you give us 5-star, that will get you a mention on the show. Another thing that you can do is you can go to facebook.com/thenerdparty. Give us a like. We're really close to getting 2,000 likes, so that'd be really cool if you guys could help us out. And find us on Twitter @joinnerdparty, where we post all of our shows and we get some conversation topics going. And we really, we just want to hear from you guys.
Yeah.
We love our fans and we love the interaction. And if you want to write us, the girl and me specifically, you can go to thenerdparty.com/contact, select Nerd Nuptial from the drop-down menu, and fill out the form from there, and it'll send us a little message. And we're always looking for show topics. We want to know what you guys want us to talk about. I think one thing that we're going to talk about in the future from fellow host Philip Gilfist, one of his recommendations was, how did we make our wedding nerdy?
Yeah.
So that's something that we're going to talk about in the future. So we have a lot to talk about in the future, especially now that we're nerd parents. And so I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah. I love you.
I know.
There ain't no grave can hold my body down. There ain't no grave can hold my body down. When I hear that trumpet sound, I'm gonna rise right out of the ground. Ain't no grave can hold my body down.
Join the revolution. Join the Nerd Party.